Take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Exodus tonight, Exodus 33. And I'm so glad that you're here for this Bible study time and looking forward to the time we have together. Let's stand together as we turn to Exodus 33. We're going to read in just a moment, beginning in verse number 1. Brother Jeremy, if I could ask you to turn this up just a little more for my voice tonight, I'd sure appreciate that. Exodus chapter 33. And our text is really verses 12 through 17, but I just feel led tonight to read the entire chapter so that as I give a little review, you'll have the context for it. And it's a wonderful thing to stand and read the Word of God as we're instructed to do in 1 Timothy and as we see in Nehemiah. And I'm glad that we can do this tonight. So let's read all of these 17 verses beginning in verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. Please make note of that phrase. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Might I ask you tonight, are you a stiff-necked Christian or a tender-hearted Christian? And God says, you're a stiff-necked people. I'm not going to go with you this time. You've been stiff-necked. Then notice the Bible says in verse 4, And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, Ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up in the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments, but by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out of the tabernacle that all the people rose up, and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. By the way, thank God for young men like Joshua who patiently wait for men like Moses, the older men. Joshua was a faithful servant. Verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, See thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto them, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you know us by name, and we ask, Lord, tonight that you would teach us something more about your presence and about fellowshipping with you and about the importance of not moving ahead of you, but always walking with you. And so teach us tonight, Lord, this wonderful truth of waiting on you and walking with you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The children of Israel are at Mount Sinai just a few months after crossing the Red Sea. Finally, after wandering and wandering, God's hand of blessing allows them to cross and now come to this place as they record in the scripture here at Mount Sinai. And God is giving Moses the law, has given Moses the law. But as you read in the previous chapters, the children of Israel have sinned. And while Moses was up at Mount Sinai receiving the law, they were having a contemporary worship service where they made a golden calf and danced around it. All kinds of music were played. I do not believe it was godly music. I do not believe that music is amoral. I believe that there is a certain kind of music that edifies the spiritual man, and there's a certain kind of music that appeals to the sensual man. And I believe the music that was played as they danced around the golden calf was very sensual and godless in its orientation. And you can read that story yourself. It's very clearly written in chapter 32. And you know how that Moses came down and how that he saw the spectacle, and he took the tablets, and what did he do with them? He threw them down. Young man right here, you're distracting me with that iPad, if you'll turn that off. Thank you so much. And as Moses came down off the mount, his heart was broken, for the people had turned away from the presence of God, and they had substituted worship for God for the worship of a golden calf. Now we come to chapter 33, and we see what God says. He says in verses 2 through 3 that he will send an angel to go before them into the land, but that he will not go with them himself. Now notice this, if you would. He says here in verse 3, he says, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, notice, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. Now, just think about that for a moment. It was God that parted the Red Sea. It was God that gave the tablets. It was God that brought the 10 plagues upon Egypt. It was God that had done everything good and marvelous and miraculous for them. And now God, who had been with them and who had brought them, now God says to them, you can go ahead on into the land, but I'm not going with you. I'll not be with you along the way. Notice what the people did in verse 4. When they heard these evil tidings, they mourned. And when it says they did not put on their ornaments, essentially it means that they did not put on their traveling clothes for worship. They were not going to follow the leadership of God in the sense of going now, because God said he was not going with them. And so we come to verse 11, and we read in verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Moses did not see God's face. We read this in verse 20. But he heard from the Lord, and he spoke to God as if a man would speak face to face. And Moses, throughout this chapter, is interceding on behalf of the people. He's asking God to go with them. He's asking God on behalf of the people to help lead them and guide them along the way into the promised land. Moses did not want to go one more step on the journey without God's presence with them. Moses realized that without God, there would be no blessing. There would be no miracle. We tonight should remember the words of Jesus, who said, without me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Without me, you can do nothing. Moses knew that there were 7 kingdoms in the promised land that would need to be utterly destroyed. There would be the battles with the people of Jericho. There would be the battles with the various groups of people that were mentioned in this passage tonight. He knew that those battles would require the mighty hand of God. And may I remind you tonight, the Bible still says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I would love to see a president who just builds our defense system stronger and stronger. I believe in strong defense. But I'll tell you right now, we could have 10 times more nuclear weapons than every other nation on this planet. And if we turn our back against God, we are doomed as a nation. Moses knew that. Wise people know that. And so he's coming to the Lord, speaking to the Lord as to a friend on behalf of the people, asking that the Lord would go with them. There's a reason for that, and I want to give you three reasons for Moses' prayer. I want you to notice, first of all, tonight, he asked the Lord to go with them because his presence brings direction. Now notice this in verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. God had given Moses a task. His task was to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And we see these words, thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Moses knew that he could not do the task alone. Moses is saying, God, who's going to help me with this? I need your help with this. I need you to say that you're going to go with me in this. May I say that every parent tonight should say, God, I need your help in being a parent. Every one of us with every task must recognize, God, I cannot do this without you. We read in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul said, I would rather be in a weakened physical state and have the power of God than be a strong man like Arnold Schwarzenegger in his heyday. By the way, I don't think he was all that strong and big in his heyday. I've stood around and put my arm around him one time. He's a little short man. Did you know that? I did not know that. He had on cowboy boots and was still several inches shorter than I was, and I put my arm around him for a picture we took one time, and I said, you're getting a little flabby there, and I don't know if he appreciated it or not, but nevertheless, I had my moment with him. Amen. But the Apostle Paul's saying, I'd rather be a little scrawny man. I'd rather have sickness. I'd rather have infirmities and have the power of God on my life than be Mr. Universe without the power of God in my life. So many times, parents, we think, boy, if our kids could have this job and this degree, and boy, if I could get this promotion, if I could have this or that, everything would be great. Can I remind you tonight that without reliance upon God's Holy Spirit and God's power, we are nothing. Paul says, look at it, it's in your notes. He said, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Sometimes God allows weakness and trial into your life so you don't get all thinking that it's all about you and you're going to make it and you're the strong one. The fact of the matter is that without him, you can do nothing. So we see Moses had this responsibility and he wanted God's help in the matter. But then notice Moses' request, verse 13. Speaking to God, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Moses makes a request, and he says, Lord, would you show us the way to go? I need your direction. Now, can I tell you tonight that every one of us will come to wise in the road or a fork in the road? Every one of us must recognize every day that we must pray what Moses is praying here. Lord, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me the way. All right? Now look at that, if you would, in verse number 13. And I want you to read this verse out loud with me. Ready? Begin. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Lord, if I have found grace in your sight, show me the way. This is his request. Lord, I need to know which way you want us to go. I want to know your will. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your what? Your paths. He'll direct your parenting paths. He'll direct your soul-winning path. He'll direct your financial path. He'll direct your career path. He'll direct any path if you'll just ask him for direction. This is what we learned from Moses tonight. He was a man asking for direction. I believe every man here ought to pray, God, give me direction for my family. Every lady here tonight, pray, God, give me direction for my children. We had to pray, God, give us direction for the giving this Friday night. Sunday night, rather. God, give me direction for soul winning. Help me to know what to say to this man I'm witnessing to. He says, Lord, I'm requesting direction. I'm requesting wisdom. James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God has the wisdom, but we must ask him for the wisdom. We must seek God. We must seek godly counsel. There's safety in the multitude of counsel. So oftentimes, people fail to pray. They fail to seek God. When they allegedly seek counsel, they're just really trying to get somebody to agree with their agenda. Moses was not saying, God, would you approve my way? He was saying, God, show me your way. And there's a big difference. Moses wanted to know the way of God for his life. And so we see here that the presence of God brings direction. And Moses said, Lord, I don't want to try to lead these people without your direction. I don't personally want to try to be a pastor without God's mind, without God's direction, without God's presence. And this is what Moses was saying. Lord, I need direction from you in this matter. How many families tonight are a mess because they do not seek God's direction? How many churches, how many nations tonight have fallen because they did not seek God's direction? I'm not speaking evil of Mr. Trump. I don't know if he's saved. I hope if he's not, he will be saved. I don't know how all this election will go. And I'm not saying he's good or bad in this moment. I'm just saying this. I heard him say on an interview that he's never had to ask God's forgiveness for anything. Let me tell you, my friend, I've had to ask God's forgiveness many times. The fact of the matter is that I believe this. I believe that every one of us need to stay in close fellowship with the Lord. Because we must have His guidance and His Holy Spirit in our life. His presence brings direction. Notice secondly, His presence brings rest. Now notice this at verse 14. He said, my presence shall go with thee. My presence shall go with thee. And I will give thee rest. I will give thee rest. Now imagine having this job description. Your job description is to stand before the most powerful man in the world and tell him to let God's people go. And if he doesn't, it's going to bring down all kinds of pestilence and frogs and lice and locusts and blood. And then when that's done, your job is to lead them across the Red Sea. But first, you have to stand there till the enemy's hot on your tail. And then right at the last minute, it's going to be parted. And your job is to lead a couple of billion rebellious, stiff-necked people through the wilderness to the promised land. How many of you recognize that if that was your job, you might want some rest sometimes too? And this is what he says. My presence will go with thee, and I will give thee rest. There is almost nothing less restful than trying to be the leader of that kind of a crowd of people. And yet God says, I'll give you rest in the middle of it. God says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And God says, Moses, he said, I will give you the rest that you need. Moses says, I've got to have your presence with me. One of the verses that is often quoted in preaching today is Jeremiah 6:16. It may be in your notes. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and ask for the old paths. Sometimes when preachers preach this message, they stop right there. They start preaching about this and that, about the old paths. And boy, the old paths, that's a 1957 Chevy. And that's this song. And that's this culture. And they start preaching about the old paths. And I love the old paths. And I'm a traditional Baptist. I'm thankful. I'm an old-fashioned Baptist. But they never preach the rest of the verse. So I want you to look at the rest of the verse. It says, ask for the old paths. All right, we want that. But look at the rest. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find what? Rest for your souls. Now, look right here for a moment. If you'll walk this old path that Jesus puts before you, that Moses wanted, if you walk the path of prayer and fellowship and repentance, and if you'll walk on that old path, and we believe in the old paths, good music, Bible reading, Bible preaching. Do you know what's wonderful about that old path? When you put your head on the pillow at night, you're going to sleep like a baby. Now you get off that path. I'm preaching from Jeremiah 6:16. Is everybody with me right now? You get off that old path. And you start putting your toe on the other path, and you start down a pathway of lying and deceit and alcohol and marijuana, and you find yourself watching all the wrong things and living the wrong way, and you find yourself in that old old lifestyle of sin, you're not going to have rest for your soul. You're not going to have it. If you get away from the Bible, you get away from God, you get out of church, you're not going to have rest for your soul. You're going to need something to calm your nerves. Now listen, you can blame it if you want on your parents. You can blame it if you want on the church. But they didn't push you off the old path. You walked off the old path. Every man in prison in Los Angeles right now wants to blame it on society, but somewhere along the line, you've got a choice. You can walk the old path, or you can walk the worldly path. And Jeremiah said, hey, children of Israel, why don't you ask for the old path? And one of the reasons you ought to walk on the old path is so you can have some rest for your soul. I've pastored this church for 30 years. I can testify to you that when a man gets counterwise in his spirit, he's not right with God, he's not right with his family, not right with his Sunday school teacher, whatever the case might be. I'm going to tell you right now, when they get off the old path, there's no rest for their soul. Especially if you're saved, because the Holy Spirit's convicting you the whole time. But God says, notice again, verse 14, he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee, what's the word? Rest. I'll give thee rest. Did you know that no matter what you're going through in life, no matter how great the trial, it may be medical, it may be financial, if you are right with God, he will give you rest. He'll give you rest. So his presence, when you're walking closely with the Lord, his presence gives you direction. Moses said, please, God, show me thy way. I need to know thy way. I can't lead by myself. God, I need you to show me the direction for my life. Secondly, he said, God, I need you the rest. I need your rest in my life. I've got to have it. But then notice here, also, his presence brings grace. His presence brings grace. Now notice our need for grace. And I want you to find this here, please, in verse 15. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with thee, I will give thee, verse 14, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Verse 15, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Now notice the need for grace. And Moses articulates the need in verse 15 when he says, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up thence. Carry us not up thence. Would you read this with me? Verse 15, ready, begin. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. One more time. And he said unto him, now think about that. Lord, if you're not going with me, then don't even let us go. We don't want to go. Lord, we can't go into the promised land and fight the Canaanites. We can't go in and fight there in Ai. We can't have victory at Jericho. We can't have it without you, Lord. If you don't go with us, we don't even want to go. As a pastor here for 30 years, I can tell you something. Maybe you know this already. But every year and every special event, it's always been my heart that every member would go the next step of the journey. That's the pastor's heart. It's always been my heart that every man would go on the camp out. It's always been my heart that every member would come to the revival meeting. Now, if you haven't figured that out by now, you're deaf and dumb and blind and everything else because you haven't paid attention to it. And we have some that just may not have noticed it. But if you've been a member at Lancaster Baptist Church, how many of you once in a great while get a letter or an email or maybe a text? Anybody else? Say, what is that all about? That's all about primarily a pastor that's trying to engage your attention to draw closer to the Lord. You say, well, you just want us to always go to church. No, it's more than that. I want you to go with the Lord. And that's always been my heart. Oh, we have this special occasion Sunday night. I make no bones about the fact. It's my heart's desire that every member would be a part Sunday night. Everybody taking that. Now, I've matured enough and been a pastor long enough to know that not every member goes to that next level. Not every member goes year after year. But it's always going to be my heart because if I stop caring, how many of you understand, I'm not a very good shepherd. Talk to me. If I don't care who comes and who's involved and whose family's growing and such, if I don't care to take note of that, I'm not a very good pastor. I do take note. The Bible refers to the pastor, Acts 20:28, as the overseer. I'm going somewhere with this. It's always been my desire. But I want you to understand something. If we have 100% of our membership Sunday night sitting at the Walther Center and God's not with us, it doesn't matter. I'll tell you something else. There might be someone, I don't know of anyone like this. In fact, we have a record number of people coming. But there might be someone say, I ain't going to that stupid thing. I've been to that stuff before. I got to tell you something. I'd rather have half the church and God than the whole church and not God. So you just said you want everybody to do everything, but I want you to understand, more than that, I want God in the middle of everything that happens at Lancaster Baptist Church. I'm not against numbers and attendance. God has a whole book in the Bible called Numbers. It's not wrong to know how things are going statistically. That's one way to provide leadership. But Moses teaches me something here. Because Moses says in verse 15, if thy presence go not with me, I don't want to go. And I can tell you that from my heart tonight, if God is not in the middle of Sunday, if God does not anoint Easter, if God does not bless our 30th anniversary in Spiritual Leadership Conference, if God's not in the middle of it, then I don't even want to be a part of it. And Moses teaches us this lesson. He teaches us tonight that we have a great need for God's grace. We have a great need for God's presence. Have you ever started your day by saying, Lord, I need you to go with me today. Lord, I'm going to work today and I've got my workers there. And Lord, they're going to see my life and testimony. And I've got to talk to my teenage boy about his bad attitude. And I've got to talk to this. I've got to talk to this one about this problem. And Lord, I've got to deal with this situation. And Lord, if you don't go with me, I don't think I can even go out of the door. Lord, I want to abide with you today. I want to walk with you today. I must have your grace. Do you know what the word grace means? It means favor. In this context, it's the favor of God. Moses says, Lord, I want your favor today. I want your favor. Now, this is the great need. Is the grace of God. But notice the promise of grace, verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Now, isn't that a great verse? Let's read that verse together. Verse 17. We're almost done. Ready? Begin. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. How many of you are glad tonight that God answers prayer? Moses just stopped. Moses said, God, the people have been dancing naked around a golden calf, playing wicked music, dancing naked around a golden calf. God, we know you're a holy God. We know that your Holy Spirit is quenched. How many of you know the Bible says, quench not the Spirit? How many of you know the Bible says, grieve not the Spirit? And if you think that we can have sin in our lives and march into Sunday and have a miracle from God, you're wrong. If you think you can build a strong marriage, if you think you can even make a good decision when you're not close to the Lord and when your heart's not right with Him, you just can't. Your decision maker is broken. And Moses hears this wonderful promise from the Lord. He says, Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. That means, Moses, you have found favor in my sight because you are my friend. Notice that in verse 17. I know thee by name. I know thee by name. Friends, are you talking with the Lord tonight, face to face? Does He know you by name? Is your name written down in His book? Oh, what a wonderful promise we have. The Bible teaches that the grace of God can be with us. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Notice, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, in a moment, we're going to pray. And here's what I want to ask you to pray about. Very simply, it's a very simple message. Lord, before I go into Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and Lord, before we walk into the Walther Center on Sunday night, Lord, please go with me. Anoint me, fill me, walk with me. The songwriter said, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. You know the song? And the chorus says, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. Let me encourage you, my friend, don't go into tomorrow until you just take that time to be still and know that He is God. And Moses said, God, we have sinned. And this is what happens so oftentimes. Men and women will sin. They'll have a wrong spirit. They'll sin. And they'll just come back to church and sit in church and, hey, how's it going, man? Good to see you. Kind of nod and kind of getting along with the service and just essentially acting as though life is normal. Sort of like God's blind. May I just remind you tonight that rather than just presume upon God and act like He's blind, maybe we ought to pause and repent and confess and say, Lord, I've been wrong, and before I go one more day, I want to get right with you. I don't want to go one more day without your grace upon my life. Grace means what? Favor. Grace means what? Favor. Moses said, we can't go to battle without favor. We've got to have your favor. Do you recognize Sunday is a spiritual battle? Sunday is an opportunity, and the devil will fight you every step of the way. He doesn't want Lancaster Baptist Church to build one more outhouse, much less a children's building. And when you go into battle, you've got to have God's favor. And listen, I want all of us to be present, but I want us to be present with God upon our lives and God's grace in our heart. And I say to you as a pastor, this is how I pray as we approach Sunday. Lord, I don't want to go if you're not going with me. I don't want to just go in there and have some music and a nice message and a nice meal and see what we can do. I want to see what God will do this Sunday. And so tonight, I want you to think about this. Would you invite the Lord to go with you? Would you say, Lord, I don't want to just write out the script and ask you to bless it. I want you to write the script. I want you to go with me all the way. We cannot go into Sunday without God's presence. Like Moses, we shouldn't even try. We shouldn't even try without God's presence. And I want to encourage you today just to simply say, Lord, please go with me. Please help me every step of every day. You say, well, He's there. I'm saved. Yes. But listen carefully. while every believer possesses the Holy Spirit, not every believer is possessed of the Holy Spirit. You may have the Holy Spirit. You're born again. The Holy Spirit comes into your life. But are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you possessed of the Holy Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? Stop. Stop. They used to tell us, if you're on fire, what do you do? Stop what? Not rock and roll. Come on, stop. Drop and roll, right? Stop, drop, and roll. Now listen, if there's sin in our life, if there's indifference in our heart, if we are stiff-necked, stop and say, Lord, I've been wrong. I don't want to go another day if you don't go with me. I must have your presence in my life. I want your fullness in my life. And this is what we need tonight as we approach the next few days, that God would go with us every step of the way as your pastor. You say, Pastor, I bet you wish Stephon Curry would get saved and tithe to Lancaster Baptist Church, don't you? I bet you wish that so-and-so would come and give an offering. No, this is what I pray for Sunday. I just want God to be with us. That's what I want. I want God to be with us, because if he's with us, everything else will be fine. If we just do what God wants us to do. All God's people said?
Amen.
Let's pray for this.